Today on the Soda Pod, we are joined by one of the hosts from What Lies Beneath, a Seattle Kraken podcast, Joey Cirillo. We talk about the Seattle Kraken's first game against the Minnesota Wild as Minnesota continues their road trip in the Pacific Northwest. We'll also tee up what we got coming up on our next Monday episode, as well as what went down throughout the week on the Soda Pod and a little bit on the Brewery Travels podcast. All that and more on episode 220 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. 7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Jerome here, and thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Whenever I do not have the State of Hoppy alongside me here, it always throws off my intro. I actually had to do that 3 times, but obviously just kept the best one here for you. Episode 220 of the Soda Pod. That's right, episode 220, and really excited on this game day, this Thursday, October 28th, 2021, the Minnesota Wild, well, a historic game upon us tonight here as they take on, as they visit for the first time, the Seattle Kraken at the Crack House. Sorry, no, the Climate Pledge Arena. It actually couldn't be anything more different than a crack house. We're going to get into it and bring on our first guest here, Joey Cirillo, one half of What Lies Beneath, a Seattle Kraken podcast. It was a fun conversation that we had with Joey. He's a new hockey fan, but he'll tell his story. A really entertaining and fun interview. Big shout out quickly to our partners at 7th Ave Pizza and Northland Vodka. And a reminder, and we'll highlight it a little bit more later in the show, a reminder to check out on the Soda Pod feed every Tuesday, a prospect show hosted by our friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Spoked Z, Judd's Buds, episode 4, dropped this last Tuesday. So go check that out today on the Brewery Travels feed. The Brewery Travels podcast, a new episode. Go support Joel, like, subscribe, check that out, and check him out on social media too. At Brewery Travels, at the Brewery Travels pod, Brewery Travels podcast? The Brewery Travels podcast on Facebook. That is right. I'm sorry, Joel. It's late. And Brewery Travels on Twitter. Check out his website too. Some great blogs on, well, his travels. And he's in a new spot, so I'll let him talk about that though. Go support him there on the Brewery Travels podcast. And as always, tomorrow at the time of this recording, every Friday, MNCAA, another great episode of MNCAA coming for you this Friday. Catch up if you haven't already. It's a new podcast here on the Soda Pod feed. I believe it's only on like episode 5, maybe episode 4. Episode 4 or 5. So it's still very new, and we have some amazing guests that rotate every week. And it's unbelievable. 61 teams in the great state of Minnesota. Unbelievable stuff. Go support and check out that show. Support and hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. And the last reminder that the Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod here are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. On the other side, on this historic day where the Minnesota Wild visit Climate Pledge Arena and the Seattle Kraken, Joey Cirillo of What Lies Beneath, a Seattle Kraken podcast. On the other side, you're listening to the Soda Pod episode 220, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right. pleasure actually to welcome here on the Soda Pod. And like, I'm a little bit nervous here because I'm a fan of this guest. Like, yeah, we work together on the Hockey Podcast Network. We worked together pretty closely the last few weeks here, but overall, I'm a fan of Joey Cirillo of What Lies Beneath, a Seattle Kraken podcast. How are you, sir? Thanks for making some time for us here today.
I'm doing good. One, I appreciate you. The admiration is very mutual. So that's very kind of you to say. And two, similar to the Seattle Kraken, I am kind of still in startup mode. So if you notice behind me, I have like the empty room and just like the Kraken hat, so you can kind of see what I'm working with here. My setup is nowhere near as good as yours, but you know, we're making it work a little bit at a time every single day.
Hey, Joey, before like the Hockey Podcast Network blew up, I was literally renting like this cute little trailer on my friend's property with a background that's way worse than what you got going on with your Rode mic and Rodecaster, sir. So do not worry about it. The Soda Pod has seen much, much worse. Before we get into some hockey talk, though, because the Minnesota Wild are facing the Seattle Kraken the day that this podcast drops Thursday. In perfect Soda Pod fashion, I see you have a beer, sir. What are you drinking?
I do have a beer, and I think this was destiny because I was already going to grab an adult beverage, and then you said, hey, by the way, feel free to grab a beer for the Soda Pod. I'm like, done. Don't have to tell me twice.
Hell yeah.
Random kind of a fact about what we're doing. We are watching and running the What Lies Beneath, the Seattle Kraken podcast from New Orleans, Louisiana. So I actually have here a local beer. I have an Abita strawberry. Anybody knows about that delicious, delicious beer, Abita strawberry. Shout out to Louisiana. We got some good beers down here. So yeah, that's what I'm sipping on tonight. What do you have in your hand?
I run out of beer, unfortunately. Oh. because we keep it craft beer usually here on the Soda Pod. Hoppy actually sent me a care package. My care package to him is long overdue. When we first started doing this, he was sending me some of these. We don't have beers this big in Canada, the Crowlers. So we don't. What are the 750 mils?
Okay. You call that can a crowler. I refer to that can as a tall boy. So we're on different wavelengths over
here. See, tall boys for us, and okay, this is super unprofessional, but I'm gonna grab one here. They're a little bit smaller.
Interesting.
So tall boy would be something like this.
It's 16 ounces.
Yeah, 473 mils in Canada.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
This is amazing. It's the Soda Pod. People like rip on me because I'm the Canadian host and I speak in kilometers and all that stuff. But
anything the U.S. just needs to adapt to the rest of the world. We're just too stingy to do so.
But I am drinking here. There's a little island off of the big ass island that I live on, Vancouver Island, called Salt Spring. And I went camping there this last spring. Actually, went to this tiny little craft distillery called Salt Spring Shine. All the vodka is distilled with honey, as the property is basically like half bee farming. Okay. And with a ton of hives and just a huge population of bees and a distillery. And it's just, I've been nursing this tiny little bottle for a while now, but it's just unbelievable vodka. I'm not a huge vodka guy personally. Like I like tequila, like good tequila, like way more, but this is some of the best booze that I've ever had in my life. So
that's interesting.
I thought I'd crack it here with you, my friend.
All right, man. Cheers. I appreciate that.
Also, because one of our partners on the show, Northland Vodka, I don't think they can send a bottle of their Minnesota vodka to to Vancouver Island with ease. So I have to make do here with the Salt Spring Shine. All right, let's get into hockey. Let's get into some hockey talk. And I know, and I'm gonna preface it by saying to all our listeners on the Soda Pod that you're still new to the hockey world, folks. I'm a fan of Joey because. And, you know, he's very humble, so he's just going to, like, smile and probably blush when I say this. But the guy is a fucking entertainer. The guy is a comedian, and he doesn't even know it. Like, man, the moment I heard your other podcast, Pasty, everything, it had me howling. Just with the titles of the podcast and the description. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fucking love this. And I was just so entertained. You're truly an entertainer and a big sports nut yourself. Now, you mentioned you're in New Orleans. But you're from Washington originally, and that's why you just had the urge to be like, Isha, you know, we've worked together with podcasting anyways. I want to dive into Seattle and I want to keep podcasting. You pick it up from there, sir.
Yeah, well, shit, you just set the bar so high. Now I'm going to come in here and limbo underneath it. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of teed me up there pretty well. So, you know, Seattle Kraken. So I'm a Seattle diehard everything. I was born and raised in Washington State. It's painful, right? I mean, with the exception of the one Seahawks Super Bowl, Sonics, rest in peace, hopefully coming back in the near future, lifelong yeah. Mariners fan. So I'm a fan of every sport, but it's really hard to get into a sport when you don't have the team. So I saw this coming. I saw the Seattle Kraken. When they were announced, I was just over the moon, like, holy shit, it's happening. I loosely rooted for the Avalanche because I lived in Colorado for a number okay. of years, went to school out there, I have family there, et cetera, but I never adopted them as a team. It's like if you have a kid and you know, you adopt a kid, you're going to love them, but not as much as like your biological. The Seattle Kraken is my biological child. So so excited. But I call myself out because, you know, I'm admittedly new to the sport. So that is why I was excited to come to you with the idea of what lies beneath the Seattle Kraken podcast from a standpoint of myself where I am learning the game like a lot of Seattleites or Seattle sports fans in general. We love our research. We love to nerd out over stuff. So I've gone, no pun intended, I've deep dove right into everything. It's a crash course. Just trying, you know, drinking from the fire hose, trying to learn as much as I can. And then meanwhile, we have Jeff, who's a great co-host with me, born and raised in Detroit, grew up playing hockey, knows the sport, but can explain it to me like a five-year-old. So it's kind of like a good yin and yang for the both of us. And man, we're having so much fun with it. And I get to, you know, I finally have a team that I get to watch and root for. And that's what makes it really fun at the end of the day.
Yeah. And the support too for the team from a lot of new hockey fans who have a similar story to you, I think have really latched on to what you guys are doing. And you said it, Jeff's a great compliment, a great bus driver in that he's, you know, yes. like you said, from Detroit. So he's a hockey guy because people from Detroit, I mean, you know, Michigan fans to the Red Wings, they love their hockey there. And it's funny you mentioned that, like, you didn't have a team growing up in the Seattle area. And that's kind of funny because Minnesota Wild fans, my age anyways, you know, late 20s, early 30s, uh-huh. they were kind of the same because the Minnesota North Stars left, they moved to Dallas. And then there was a lull where Minnesota didn't have a National Hockey League team. So like my co-host, who's a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, you know, he was young, but before 2000 when the Minnesota Wild came in as an expansion team. So there's actually a lot of Minnesota Wild fans who are my age who are kind of like, they have their first love because they just are, that state is the state of hockey. They're crazy over hockey, high Absolutely. School hockey. Like the state tourney is like Christmas to them. Their high school state tournament. And obviously the NCAA now with six Division I teams. I mean, it's just unbelievable the support there. I mean, outside of the NHL, but now that the Wild are there too, and now that the Wild are very exciting right now, I would say, with in the day and age of social media, that state's just humming for hockey. But it's interesting that you mentioned that just because hockey wasn't, I guess, your first love, you weren't in like the state of hockey. Sure, Colorado is a great hockey market, but it's not hockey first, I wouldn't say. Maybe at the peak of Patrick Waugh and Forsberg, but so yeah, it's just maybe. Interesting that your experience was a little bit different, you know, outside of a very hockey crazed market.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, Colorado is a very good hockey market. I do remember actually meeting some of the Avs players when I was a kid. They did like a meet and greet and got to meet the mascot and everything. So they were and still are very active in the community and still continue to grow that fan base. They also have a very competitive team. So that really helps out a lot. They have some fantastic players. Was really hoping that Seattle was going to pull off signing Landeskog right after the expansion draft this year. It didn't happen, and that's fine. So we took Grubauer from them. So it all worked out. But yeah, like I said, like that was my adopted child. I have my biological child is here. You know, he's new. He's only a month and a half old, but we love him to death. And it's been a hell of a ride so far in this very early season, trying to pace myself. I know there's 82 games, but it's really hard because get so excited. This is something that we've been wanting for years in Seattle and just as a Seattle sports fan, again, in general. So to finally have them here, I remember watching, I mean, it was only a couple nights ago, watching the home opener, against the Vancouver Canucks, and they're doing the national anthem. And I'm looking at the, and I'm watching the game.
It was amazing. Warm,
and I'm blown away. I'm like, holy shit, man. Like I'm tearing up. Everything was just so incredible. And the way that the fans have adopted the team and really made it their own and just embraced everything. And I, and in my opinion, trying to throw all biases to the side, have really hit a lot of really important pieces of building this organization on the head. So I'm excited for what's to come for the Kraken.
Yeah, man. Well said. Okay. Let's dive into it. I know you're still new to the sport, but you've, like you said, you've dove in straight up all in head first. You've been following this team so much. What have you liked from them, and who's your favorite player thus far? Who are you keeping an eye on?
Yeah, it's like borderline stalker status, but I appreciate you for taking it easy on me and throwing up like the softball questions. So, you know, this is going to be the most cliche answer, but it's also the correct one. So I'm not going to just throw out a different player just because. It's Brandon Tanev.
Like, yeah,
I love Turbo. And you know what? So on our first podcast episode, I said that I predicted him being a fan favorite. It had nothing to do with the mugshot or, you know, his history in the NHL or his backstory, anything like that, even though all of that is incredible. There was actually a preseason game, and afterwards, I forget which one of the teammates, but they were giving an interview. Tanev was either going into the showers or coming out of it, but he comes out from behind the curtain. The dude's only in his underwear, and he's like trying to cover up, but not really. And he's like running around in the background in front of the camera, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He's hilarious, because everyone else, you know, they're buttoned up. They're not showing that much personality. And here's this dude with the flowing locks running around half naked while one of his teammates is trying to do an interview. And I'm like, okay, let me pay attention to this guy. And then, you know, that same energy that he has off the ice, it's equal to, if not greater than when he is on the ice. He is incredible. He's been such an exciting addition to the team. He really, really energizes that third line. He had a ton of ice time in the last game because he had two goals. He was trying to go for the hat trick. He's off to an incredible start. He lays a lot of hits. I mean, he does everything that you would want him to do. And he's like an early fan MVP for the team.
5 goals in 7 games from a Tanev brother is unbelievable. Like, and it's so funny because him and Chris are total opposites. Chris Tanev, longtime Vancouver Canuck, now with the Calgary Flames, couldn't be more blasé-faire. Like, okay, very, very quiet, you know, the very textbook hockey answers to the media: play hard, had a good game, try my hardest out there. The guy, Joey, would block every, he is a defenseman. He blocked every single shot. This guy was injured and played through more injury than any hockey player I've seen in a very long time. He was just such an awesome bruiser, but very, very quiet and reserved individual. Then you got his younger brother there, who's just kind of the opposite, the more outgoing guy. I mean, he was on like Spittin' Chicklets recently, I couldn't imagine Tanev would even be a good interview on a Spittin' Chicklets because the guy doesn't have a lot to say. He just kind of proves it on the ice. So it's really funny, you know, being a longtime Vancouver Canucks fan, and you know, Minnesota Wild fans on this podcast know that very well, so don't worry about that. it was just interesting as I listened to that interview, and now I'm just following him a little bit more. And I know he kind of had his coming out party in Winnipeg, and then Pittsburgh signed him to that great deal before exposing him in the expansion draft. He's a hell of a player, and I love it.
Yeah, and you know what? For me, learning the game and being fresh to everything, but trying to kind of wrap my mind around every aspect of it as quickly as possible. What I was doing during the expansion draft, so when Tanev was selected by Seattle, I immediately went to Twitter and I just started reading all the reaction from all the Penguins fans out there, because that will tell me everything.
Yeah.
Let me go straight to the fan base and see what they're saying about losing this guy. And I think unequivocally, it seemed like that fan base was more upset over losing him than probably every other player that the Kraken selected in the expansion draft. That is not a knock on any of the other players that the team chose. I'm very happy overall with the team that they have in place. There's still a lot to put together, but speaking of Spittin' Chicklets, Brandon Tanev was on there a week ago.
Yep.
It's incredible. So you mentioned his brother. I know nothing about, because again, new to the game. Like, I knew he had a brother. I didn't know anything about his past and how he is with the media and how he's a great defenseman, fights through injuries, et cetera, et cetera. Brandon Tanev, you know, he tells a story on that specific podcast about how he didn't even play competitive hockey from the
age of 19. Same with Chris. They were late bloomers.
Genetically, I mean, they're created in a fucking lab to play hockey. It's like, if you can, there's no reason why you should be able to, like, can you imagine, like, in any other sport, I can't imagine, like, an NFL athlete just being like, hey, I'm in the NFL and I'm one of the best at my position and I'm beloved by my team, et cetera, but I didn't play all of high school. I just went straight from college, played a year, and then went to the NFL. It's just not heard of. And that's essentially what Tanev did, and apparently so did his brother. So they're genetically predisposed to be playing professional hockey, and they're damn good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another connection here, and I was just going to say, when you made the comment on, oh, I don't like, that was probably the fan base and team that was the most like annoyed about the pick that had to be lost. I mean, Toronto just basically fucking gave you Jared McCann after acquiring him from Pittsburgh, and his connection to the Vancouver Canucks too. He's a former first rounder from Vancouver. They shipped him off to Pittsburgh, no, Florida at the time. And he's had a great career in Florida and in Pittsburgh. And now, you know, potentially, and I would argue right now anyways, your top center for the Seattle Kraken. And he's a point per game. And I love to see it because I always liked this guy. And the Vancouver Canucks basically had to choose between two of their first rounders that year and chose Jake Virtanen, who's now involved in a fucking sexual assault case and playing in the KHL in Russia. So Jared, not the best pick by Jim Benning, the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, to choose Jake Virtanen over Jared McCann, especially with the return that the Vancouver Canucks have, but we won't get into that. Glad to see Jared McCann. I know I can speak for Hoppy too, who's a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Glad to see that he's doing well. He's a hell of a little like water bug out there, eh?
No, he really is. And he's still somebody that I'm trying to kind of get a good grasp on. I really like the way that he skates, and his vision on the ice is really impeccable. In fact, that was something that I noticed in the preseason. Again, very brand new to the sport, but watching all the preseason games and watching the season games, I'm watching the way that he sets up his teammates, and it's very, very impressive. And yes, he is the top. I mean, he's first line center for the Kraken. I really like what he's doing. I tried getting I tried getting that going after he scored a goal. I forget in which game. Twitter didn't really grasp onto that, but I'll keep pushing for it. So I really like him too. And he just seems like a solid all around team player, you know, busts his ass, and he does all the right things when he's out there and also when he's off the ice too. So he's somebody that I'm very fortunate to have, and somebody that I think you and I actually connected briefly right after the expansion draft and talked about him. And you weren't upset that he went to the Kraken, but you basically told me that we got a good one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of Minnesota Wild connections to the Kraken team as well. Ryan Donato played for Minnesota. He was a kind of a fan favorite. It's hard to say maybe a fan favorite's a stretch, but a lot of the fans were rooting for him when he was a prospect for the Minnesota Wild. Didn't quite pan out here, but definitely a skilled player. Very north-south with an unbelievable shot. Did very well representing the Team USA in the last Olympics when he was in college and not at the NHL level yet. So Ryan Donato, former Minnesota Wild player. Carson Soucy, one of the players, well, the player that the Kraken selected by the Minnesota Wild in the expansion draft, he a very a piece that's missing, that the Wild, the roster misses, and the fans miss. In my opinion, one of the best skaters in the league right now. Like, he's not elite in that category, but man, can he move. Not electrifying speed, but as a defender at the highest level in the National Hockey League, you have to be able to skate. You have to be able to skate better or on par with everyone in the league, despite the speed, despite not maybe having like a speed of Connor McDavid. Carson Soucy was so solid in that area. And though he was on the third pairing for the Minnesota Wild, it was a crucial piece to the Wild's very complete defense that they've had to kind of reshape this offseason. So I think you got a good one in Carson Soucy as well.
Yeah, you know, so the season is still early. So there's like stats aren't going to jump off the page unless you're pulling a Tanev. And
yeah, and he's not going to score much. He's a defenseman, right?
No, exactly. But I'm not even referring to that. Just what I really liked about him is he brings a lot of energy, and he to your point, he skates his ass off when he's out there. Like it is very, very visible when he is on the ice. And he's flying around, and he's so, like, him and Larson have been great on the defense for the Kraken. And I remember reading his specific profile after the expansion draft and being really excited for him. Because it seemed like to me, similar to when he was with Minnesota, that he seemed like a very good kind of piece of the puzzle that would fit in rounding out this team and making it whole. And the Kraken, you know, they haven't shown it completely yet because, again, very new team early in the season, a lot of chemistry to work on. I think they're getting there, and we can talk about kind of a potential trap game for Minnesota coming in here. But I think that he is a really important piece of that. And it makes sense why, when you look at the roster and you look at names like Susie, that people look at the Seattle Kraken and say, oh, this team is going to be good defensively. If you have to pick an area where they might struggle a little bit, it might be with goal scoring. But defensively, it seems like they got some good guys in place. And it's a deep team.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're good up and down the lineup. Not a lot of, you know, star power, but hey, that's that's expected with an expansion team. You can't all be Vegas out there, which was just an anomaly in professional sports, you know, the success that they had their first year. You said it there. Let's jump right into the matchup today. The Minnesota Wild take on the Seattle Kraken, them the first time visiting Climate Pledge Arena, which, by the way, watched that Coldplay concert the night before the Kraken actually had their home opener, and it just looks like an unbelievable arena. I'm only like a few hours away from Seattle and Vancouver Island. I'm one ferry away from like Olympia area. So and I have family from Seattle. My mom growing up here on the West Coast. So I got to get my ass down there as soon as the border and stuff open up, which I believe is just in a few weeks. You're finally
Canada. I didn't know it was closed. I mean, I just haven't been traveling, so it's like, why even look if I'm just gonna torture myself?
Fair enough. So I'm really excited to go see a game there soon, especially with that Vancouver and the Kraken rivalry just bound to brew since it's the Pacific Northwest. But back to the Minnesota Wild and Kraken matchup, from a Kraken perspective, like, what have they been excelling at? What do Wild fans and this team have to have to be afraid of, quite frankly?
So I love this team, but I'm also a realist. When I look at this particular situation with Minnesota coming into town, Minnesota is the more talented team and a very frisky team. But when I look at the Seattle Kraken, this does have the makings of a trap game. Like, I'm not in the prediction business, but what I was talking about on the last episode of the What Lies Beneath the Kraken podcast that we have, I said what Seattle needs to do is to play this game against Montreal, take care of business, not only take care of business, but do so in a way that's going to build confidence while continuing to build team chemistry and timing and work on the kind of the pain points the team has. So, like, forechecking has been an issue. Getting the puck out of their zone has been an issue. And I know that Montreal isn't the best team in the NHL right now, but to go out there and dominate like they did, I mean, the only goal that was scored by Grubauer was off a bad bounce that shouldn't have even gone in. I mean, Seattle, from puck drop till the game was over, it was over. And that's exactly what I wanted to see from the team. They're continuing to work on the areas that they're struggling in. And then you really start to see the chemistry of the team come together. In fact, if you watch the past game, there, after Tanev's second goal, he pointed at Grubauer and gave him a head nod as he was skating towards the fence because he was giving him the recognition, because Grubauer had been calling such an immaculate game that he was giving him the recognition he deserved. Like, dude, we're here because of you. Let's do this shit. And I was so pumped to see that and to see the team chemistry start to form, see them be more aggressive on offense, because, yes, this is a team that is going to struggle scoring goals. But to see them really attack like that, the game before that, when they lost to Vancouver, the only two goals the Kraken scored were from defensemen. So I'm like, what the hell are the forwards doing? So to get that going early, especially Eberle early, that was big. Yeah. So we're waiting for Eberle to really kind of break the floodgates and get that off his back. And he did it really quick. The fans got into it. So that's a very long kind of roundabout way to answer that. I like the direction and the chemistry and the timing that the team is starting to build. And I think they're playing with a lot more confidence than they did against Vancouver. And now they also have the first win in Climate Pledge Arena off their back. They don't have to worry. Like, that pressure is gone.
Yeah.
Now they can just play Seattle Kraken hockey and start to also develop that identity, which I believe they are doing. And that's what Minnesota is going to be facing.
Oh, just a couple things off that right away. I can't stand the Montreal Canadiens. So the pod listeners love it. So you just love to see that. You just love to see how they had no business being in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And now there's...
Plummeted,
which is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. And second, it's so unbelievably ironic. And I know you're new to the hockey world, so you can actually, you know, ask Jeff about this next time, about the history of the Minnesota Wild and the goddamn trap game. Like, from the moment, because they were an expansion team in 2002, and they always kind of stayed, I don't want to say mediocre, because I don't want to give them any disrespect. They had some unbelievable playoff success in the first and second round under Jack Lemaire, who was a shutdown trap specialist. Again, a team... historically, you know, short history, but historically, with no superstars either, just a lot of depth and a lot of good players who are very good defensively. So it's just funny that may be, after full circle, Minnesota finally getting some superstars, finally getting some guys who can put the puck in the back of the net and wow those fans, that their biggest test may be a trap team. I love it. I think that's an unbelievable storyline for this game.
No, I'm really excited for it. And we didn't even bring up the fact that there is a major COVID protocol issue going on with Minnesota right now, too. So it's kind of like this weird, perfect storm. If you are a Seattle Kraken fan, I am licking my chops for puck drop, because I am so ready to see how this team comes out off of a really impressive win. Again, against not the best team, but to see the direction that the Seattle Kraken hopefully are starting to trend. Meanwhile, Minnesota has to travel to Seattle. They're also dealing with the COVID issues. I'm really curious to see how things go. And again, I would not be surprised if this is a trap game.
Yeah, I'm confident in the Wild's call-ups. They have a lot of depth, even in their farm system. I'd argue their AHL team is actually the best one in the entire AHL. So they're gravy train with high-level prospects, man, and good veterans. So like, they're gravy training in that way. But Joey, but before I let you go here, because I said 15 minutes, we're almost half an hour here, and we'll get you on with Hoppy, because I know he'll have a lot of fun.
A lot, so
that's great. I know, man. I'm so fucking verbose too that it does. Like, it's all good. It's a podcast. This is what we're supposed to do. Very excited to bring you back on soon, perhaps in the second meeting between these two teams, and include Hoppy as well. But my last thing I have to bring up is, you may be new to the hockey world, and Minnesota fans listening to this, and Vancouver fans now, because that team is pretty damn old too. You may be rolling your eyes, like, bringing new fans into the sport as a result of expansion teams is unbelievable, and Joey's an absolute joy to talk to. And you are fucking lucky, my friend, because you are diving in as a fan when the NHL, which is, let's be honest, not as dramatic as the NBA, as the NFL, hell, even the MLB these days. You're coming in off two back-to-back COVID years where there's just a crazy atmosphere and air about, like, hockey is back. You're seeing this Chicago Blackhawks scandal before our eyes play out, is insane and absolutely disgusting, but it's just starting right now. Pittsburgh Penguins again with the lawsuit with Scranton also a little less, in the media right now because of the Blackhawks. We also have, the Montreal Canadiens drafting that first overall draft pick who had no business being there off of his drama. And of course, and most importantly, an expansion team, the second in modern history in the National Hockey League, the second this decade in the Seattle Kraken. So a lot is going on in the hockey world, a lot for you to digest. And as a fan, as a sports fan, you must be just like licking your chops right now.
Dude, so I feel like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I'm just like this. This is how I am 24/7. Like, I go to sleep doing like the Brandon Tanev face. I mean, it has been really exciting. First off, like, for anyone listening to this particular podcast, if they're listening to me talk and thinking this guy doesn't know shit about hockey, you are absolutely right. So take it easy on me. It's only been a couple of months. I'm trying to learn as quickly as possible. I didn't have a reason to really to really just jump in into the NHL as hard as I have been. But I promise you, I am all in. And there are a lot of Seattle Kraken fans out there that are on the same page. Yes, there's a lot of drama going on in the NHL. A lot of it's really horrible. It's drawing attention to the league in a very bad way. It's also crazy to me that I've noticed how little hockey is covered on a national and international scale. I mean, fuck, the John Gruden emails got so much more attention than the Chicago Blackhawks story. And this story is absolutely insane.
It's bonkers.
I was actually reading about it just out of sheer curiosity beforehand, just trying to completely wrap my mind around, you know, the horrible situation that happened in Chicago and how this coach went on to do this to multiple other individuals. And I'm like, how is this not front page on every sports network, every channel, et cetera? It blows my fucking mind.
Oh, and Joey, there was a crazy story even last year, maybe not last year, but 2 years ago about like hazing in the major junior, which is the highest level of junior hockey up here in Canada. Hmm. And again, that didn't even get national coverage. There's some terrible things that went on there as well in that culture. So like hockey culture of course needs to change, like in a lot of sports cultures there. But you said it there. And I always forget, cause I'm in Canada, right? And I'm in a hockey market, you know, near Vancouver. So for me, hockey's first. Like, yeah, a lot of NFL coverage, a lot of MLB because of, well, the Seahawks and the Mariners basically being our team too, in British Columbia. But yeah, man, overall in the rest of the United States, I mean, Minnesota being the exception because another hockey, I shouldn't say that the Vikings will, you know, hashtag school will always be first.
No, they love the Vikings out there. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, the Minnesota Wild, a close second. I'd honestly say the Gophers hockey is even more popular than Wild, but that's a conversation for another day. But you said it, man. The coverage is very surprising. But I think Hoppy said in our last interview, imagine like high school football in like Texas. That's what like high school and just college hockey is in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's I just said that's wild. And then as soon as I said that, I hated myself for saying that completely unintentionally. No, I agree with everything that you're saying. It is a really exciting time. And it's crazy to think about, right, your specific situation in Canada with the market that you're in. And I'm sitting in New Orleans, Louisiana. I cannot be more polar opposite unless I'm like trying, you know, doing a podcast from the fucking Mojave Desert. But no, you know, if I'm focusing on the positive, which I definitely want to, it's just a great, great, great time for the NHL and for hockey in general, because the excitement of the Seattle Kraken, the post-COVID year that we're able to do a full season, fans in the stands, it's just kind of like a culmination of everything that this sport really needs at this point in time. And yeah, for the Kraken specifically, we didn't nail the expansion draft like the Las Vegas Golden Knights did, but guess what? No one ever fucking will, because they were the first to really be put in that position. They rightfully so took advantage of other GMs who really didn't know what they were doing. Those teams have since learned their lesson. And from now on moving forward, if there's ever an expansion team, guess what? You're not going to end up like the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who also had kind of lightning in a bottle happen. And they had some players they kind of took, not even really like a big gamble or a risk on, but they had some guys that really end up playing really, really well for them, who were like, you know, second or third line. But anyways, tangent aside, it's a great time for the NHL, a great time for hockey. I'm excited. Release the Kraken. And I'm really excited for this game against Minnesota.
Unbelievable, man. This has been an absolute pleasure. Excited to bring you back on again. You're in Louisiana, the former home of the Ice Gators, one of the best logos and jersey in all of hockey history. I absolutely love it. And it's funny, I've worked with a lot of people in NOLA there who are, you know, hockey fans at heart. It's a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans with that, you know, French root, which is amazing. Before we let you go, pump away your podcast, sir. What do you guys got coming up on your podcast there, What Lies Beneath the Seattle Kraken podcast, and talk a little bit about your last episode too, that Halloween special.
Oh yeah, so again, it is a podcast for people that are learning about hockey, but it's also a podcast. Whether you've been a fan for 10 days or 10 years, we make it a point to really make sure that our podcast is for everybody. You just said it. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Kraken Pod. We are What Lies Beneath, the Seattle Kraken podcast. And yeah, so our last episode, we actually did a Halloween special, and I came up with the idea to do a fantasy NHL draft, but we're drafting using only fictional, very infamous horror movie serial killers. So we drafted teams based off of that. I completely destroyed Jeff in that fantasy draft. He is still in denial about it. I think the difference maker right off the bat, my first pick, I took Pennywise for my goalie. I defended that pick, what I think is very well. He can make defenders hallucinate, so you don't even know where the hell the goal is. He's incredibly flexible. Like, I see videos of like Grubauer stretching before the game. That is nothing compared to the flexibility that Pennywise has. And then on top of that, he can make himself as big or as small as he needs to, so he can completely cover the net. After my first pick, it was over. After that, it was all gravy. But yeah, we have some fun with it. And yeah, you can catch us. I'm releasing episodes right now every Tuesday, once a week. And yeah, we cover the Seattle Kraken, we cover the NHL, and we cover just hockey culture in general. And we also do hockey history, where we're having some fun kind of deep diving and going into the past and just sharing some really cool stories.
Lemieux is the GOAT. Don't let anyone fool you. He was better than Gretzky.
Jeff is going to be really upset to hear that.
Yeah, Hoppy, he'll defend me because he's Lemieux crazy too. All right, Joey, this has been an absolute pleasure, man. Thanks again for your time. On the other side, we're going to recap the week here on the Soda Pod, get some highlights from some of the podcasts on our feed. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 220, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLE. Man, I'm losing my voice. A long day of meetings on the Hockey Podcast Network. A lot of podcasting. We banked some content. There's more on that in the next coming episodes. And I haven't eaten dinner yet. I've had a beer. I've had some vodka. But I haven't eaten dinner, and I feel like my stomach is caving in. Like, it hurts. It hurts to breathe. I'm so hungry right now. So, hold on one second. I'm going to order a pizza as I'm going here. Actually, you know what? I'll intro this next clip first, and then I'll order a pizza. If you haven't already listened to episode 4 of Judd's Buds, please do so. This is why it's unbelievable, because I haven't listened to a podcast in a long time where I don't know if it's a comedy or if it's like, you know, like picking up a nonfiction book, like you're gonna learn something out of it. It's both. You're going to be entertained, you're going to laugh, you're going to smile, and you're going to learn and stay abreast of all things Minnesota Wild prospects and prospects around the league as well. Here's a little taste of what you can get on episode 4 of Judd's Buds while I sit here and order this pizza.
We'll talk Minnesota, we'll talk Iowa, we'll talk prospect roundup, and we'll try to get out of here in an hour. Hopefully less. That'd be sweet, but we're already 5 minutes in, so that's already not looking likely. So let's just dive right into it. Minnesota, 3-1, finally got that loss out of the way. Smart to get it out of the way early. Now you can focus on going 81-1. That's the math. They probably need to change some things. Probably need to give scoring the first goal a shot. That might be a good idea. They've yet to do that. And my takeaway from that is, like, they've got one line that has consistently played well every game. It's been their like most consistent line, whether or not you want to say it's their best line, whatever. But it's that fourth line, man. And guess who? Brandon Duhaime scores his first NHL goal, possibly the greatest goal I've ever seen in my life. When I tell you I fell out of this chair that I'm sitting in right now, hollering and screaming, that's what happened. I'm not going to give you the play-by-play. I'm not going to reenact it right now because it hurt pretty bad when I fell, but I literally did fall. I was scream laughing. If you missed it, it was incredible. He went end-to-end, undressed the entire Ducks team, bar down on the back end. It was sick. No. Okay. He didn't do that. But he has to be the first ever player to score with his skate while picking up his stick. Literally dropped his stick, battling in front of the net. Nico Sturm sends it in from the point. He's not even looking. Doesn't even know at first that it hit him. Literally, I took a screenshot of the puck right before it hit him. He's bent over, like showing his ass. Puck bounces off his skate and goes in, and he gets up laughing. Like, oh, okay. The dude's a rock star.
There it is. How can you not be entertained? And I should start posting more long. God, it is so late right now. It is so late recording this Thursday episode, so I apologize. I'm probably not even going to edit this because I'm that lazy and that hungry and really need to get this out. But it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievably entertaining, Judd's Buds. I should post longer videos on YouTube as his dogs are stealing the show. Go check him out at Spoke Z on Twitter and at the Soda Pod for some clips of the podcast. Let's keep this train on the track. Let's keep rolling as we don't want to go too much longer here on this episode. Again, big thanks to Joey who joined us earlier in the show. Let's tee up what we have today. A little teaser on the latest episode of the Brewery Travels podcast.
The place that we call home is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that will be where we are going to dive into today. And as always, I have two awesome guests with me this evening, Kathy and Chris. And I will let them introduce themselves by just giving a brief introduction about kind of what got you into beer and how you've been part of the beer community. Kathy, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I used to be a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And my editor once said, could you write more about women's things? Just find that as a beat. And I was like, oh, okay. And I shifted around. But then in like 2013, I wrote a story about women in beer. And I wrote about how even a woman who was a Cicerone was, you know, treated kind of roughly at a bar. They acted like she didn't know what she was talking about. And then it kept going. That story happened to come out about the same time as the brewery culture here started to grow a little bit. So a couple of parts of that story were, one was, at the time, there was one East Coast couple selling chick beer, and it was made at Minhas in Monroe, and they sold it in little six packs that looked like a purse, a clutch purse, and it was pink. And then that's one side of it, but the other side of it was like Terry Farrendorf, who started Pink Boots, is from here originally, so I got to talk to her for it too, and that piqued my interest. But also at the same time, like I said, the craft brewery culture here was just growing, like starting to grow like crazy. And that's now grating. I pour beer. I've retired from the paper, but I pour beer for a beer bar because why wouldn't you?
Well, exactly. Now that you can, yeah, be more hands-on. And Chris, what about you?
I'm also a beer writer. I've been writing about beer in Wisconsin for almost 20 years, which makes me feel really old. The last 11 years or 10 plus years, I've been writing a column called The Beer Baron for the Wisconsin State Journal, which is actually in Madison, former newspaper guy as well. Kind of a weekly column, you know, reviews and news and that sort of thing. For the last 4 years, I've been executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, which is the city magazine here in the city, and do a lot of, you know, very very, you know, following the beer scene here very closely, much more closely than I had been. I still write the column for Madison, which has more of a statewide focus, but I live here in Milwaukee and love it.
Best intro song I've ever used producing a podcast. Joel gave me like, he didn't pinpoint the song. I found and chose the song. Not a big deal. Big music guy here. Got a good ear for it. But but he actually sent me like, I don't know, maybe this is an exaggeration, Joel, correct me if I'm wrong if you're listening, but like 12 to 15 examples of songs. And at the end, I was like, so indie rock. And I think I found a pretty good one. But even the outro song, I think, is really good. I actually listened to that one while biking. But anyways, subscribe to the Brewery Travel. Support Josh. Cheers to all those craft beer fans out there. Okay, last but not least, here's a little taste of what you can get every Friday supporting and listening to the new college podcast that's sweeping the nation, the college hockey podcast that's sweeping the nation. Okay, maybe not the nation, but the great state of Minnesota, MNCAA. Let's hear what the boys had to say this last week.
Everyone, at least in like okay spirits right now?
I'm feeling great right now. I don't know about Nick though.
God damn it.
I you know, I kind of feel like Marcus Foligno with the Spartan jump punch. That's kind of how I feel right before then. That's how I feel.
lovely. All right, well, let's just get right into it then. So Drew, from a Gopher perspective, talk me through the play of controversy that everyone's aware of. Again, end of the game, we have what everyone is coining a missed call that immediately led to a Gopher goal. Game over. Solid 5% swing and pairwise. Yeah, shut up, Maxson. And just tell me, Gopher perspective, what do we got here?
Well, I think from the Gopher perspective and the Gopher fandom perspective, it's a good thing because they got to win. And not necessarily
didn't earn
call,
it.
But the results, yes. Waiting for that one, but no, it's it was obviously, yeah, the ref missed it. The ref didn't see some kind of jersey pull, some kind of hook that not.
Oh, so we do agree on something.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I think it looks like it definitely looked like it from a result standpoint, it worked out for the Gophers. But I don't think obviously that's a missed call, and I think. Yeah, the ref probably going back and looking at it saw and said, you know what, that's definitely a big one that didn't have the angle to see correctly. So it's it worked out for the Gophers, didn't work out for the Huskies, but ended in a split. I gotta say, I did predict it right last week, even though I did lose the debate. I got the prediction right, even
there
though
it
was
is.
A little bit.
No,
of a...
no, it's Buffalo Wild Wings, Maxson. He like pulled the trigger that like blinded the ref for 5 seconds while that play happened. So we could, oh man. Ugh. All right. So you tell me, why is Perbik such a coward who dives?
Oh, why a defenseman turning on his outside edge when his jersey's tugged should deserve an Oscar for the performance of a dive. Right. Are you kidding me? I mean, first of all, a couple, for those who don't know, so maybe some tidbits, the NCHC commissioner, Josh Fenton, was in the building during this contest. From what I know, now mind you, I was in the studio, I was in the replay room. I had 16 camera angles to watch this with. All 16 cameras also caught the theft that was worse than the Mike Richter word. Yes, I'm going to continue to stick you on that because there's, oh my God, dude. He rushed from the press box.
Vigo's fucking
all the way down, by the way, to the back end of the referee room where apparently a conversation took place. Now, first of all, Can we just get, first of all, what the statement the NCHC put out was a nothing burger. I mean, I've had better cheeseburgers at McDonald's. I sat in my microwave for a week and still tasted better than that fucking piece of shit. Number two, honestly, are you kidding me? For the Gopher fans who are going to say, oh, I'm a St. Cloud guy and that was a dive. Obviously, I've never put on a pair of skates in their goddamn life. That was unbelievable. Number two. Pairwise, does it really affect us? No, because we're still going to be above you. We're still going to be looking down and say, hi, guys. We're, you know, the loft party. Well, you guys are sitting down there winning, you know, in your Big Ten, conference. Come on. I mean, I can't believe it. I really, I'm a loss for words. And usually words are my thing.
I'm you a don't sound like it. You're saying a lot of words right now.
There are a lot of the same ones, honestly. But I mean, seriously, to be fair to the referee, and I really hate saying this for Drew to, you know, thank you, Drew. Thank you for this, Fred, because honestly, the only thing I can think of was he never saw from his angle. He never saw the jersey pull. However, where the effing hell was the other backside ref who had a perfect angle on that? Why was his arm not up? And you know it's bad when every single player, including the player that commits the foul, goes, wait, whistle isn't blowing? Okay, screw this. And then continues to play to a wide open Sammy Walker, Sammy Walker, who buries it. He's got the skill to be David Redick, who, I mean, everybody's caught off guard on that. So I got to give the Gophers credit that they know how to play without a whistle. That's cool. But at the end of it, we were able to get inside Mariucci. We're able to leave your captain speechless in the second intermission when they asked him, hey, guys, you're creating a lot of chances. How's it going to, you know, what's going to take it past Redick? He literally was like, well, they play the right way. We play about pucks. And actually, I'm just going to give you this whole nothing burger answer because I have no effing clue how we're going to get past David Redick. So I'm okay with that, to go into Mariucci and actually earn the win, whether, you know, you can give the ref a paycheck and then come out with a herd with a steal. So I'll give you that. Maybe we should offer the steal here, Scott, here. Let's see if the Gophers can steal the conversation here, because I don't think they can.
Yeah, no, and I just want to say, Nick, it makes me so happy. It warms my heart to see that you've clearly gotten past this. Like, you've accepted the ruling given out, and you've moved on.
All right, last shot of vodka, I swear. Last one. And it's not even Northland, because I'm in British Columbia. Although, we love our partners at Northland. We love our partners at 7th Ave, and we love our partners at DraftKings. Use promo code THPN. That's the show. That's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Big thanks to Joey Cirillo. Thanks to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. And on your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. And you can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. Another episode in the books, a fun one. Bring on Joey Cirillo again. Go check out his podcast. Support them, him and Jeff, there at What Lies Beneath. I help produce the thing, not a big deal. And with that, we will actually, I should say, a lot going on in the National Hockey League, and by no means were we making light of the news coming out of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. How we've even covered it in the summer here on the Soda Pod. Joey's new to the hockey world, didn't want to get negative in that interview, didn't want to go down that road where, again, yeah, he's read a few articles about it, but doesn't really know the history of the league. And I don't imagine was really following the story much in August either. So we kept things light. There's nothing light about this story, and we will talk about it further on our Monday episode. It's going to be a banger, episode 201 of the Soda Pod. You're going to want to hear this, and we're all going to want to hear what Gary Bettman has to say today. And there's going to be a lot to unpack there. Hell, we're trying to bring on a guest to a longtime Chicago a beat writer and someone who's followed the team for many, many years and throughout that time as well to join us. So no promises yet, but we'll try to get someone to talk about it who can speak more on the matter than we can. And we will, you know, show the respect that this story deserves. So just wanted to say that before signing off here. And it's just going to be a great episode regardless, and a lot coming up on the Soda Pod. Again, there's already a lot going on right now, and we thank everyone who supports us. 220 in the book. Signing off, I'm Isha Jerome. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.